Blog Talk Radio.
So very faithless and perverse generation. Can you say faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Don't say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil say, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you work killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your friend, and let me see how you start your day out. If you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging double, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God saying, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
How God's people grow up!
Glory, glory, glory. Hey, blessings, Israel. Hope you all doing well. Encouraged. On this balmy first day of the week, at least it is here. Humid. Just got a little bit of rainstorm went through, but it's still hot in here. Good to see y'all in the room and those that are coming in. Hallelujah, glory to the King. Oh, boy. Been a week. Been a very long week. Let me see. I should have got trifocals every week. Every time I'm on Blog Talk, I can't read the screen. I got to see. Hold on. Okay, Brother Ugly says it's low. Everybody give me a sound check if you would, please. Sound check. How we doing? We got a 10. Thank you, Brother Mike. This is from Melissa. All right, turn it up a little bit. I don't know. Is that better, Brother Ugly? How's that? Brother Samuel says it's low, too. Okay. I'll give a wait for the delay and see how everybody thinks it is. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Still low, 10. All right, I could bump it up a minute. Hang on, we'll bump it up some more. All right, how's that? We'll try that. Better. I've seen better. Okay. Glory to the King. It's amazing how this technology changes week in and week out. It really is, at least sound. I know we can go one practice to the next, and our music practice or Shabbat service, and sometimes a music practice that the singers will be too loud, and then the next week they'll be too soft, and the musical instruments will be too loud. It's just crazy what it does to the humidity in the air, the dryness, just all kinds of factors. People absorb sound, so yeah, sound's a fickle thing. All right, perfect 10, good. Glory to the King. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Glory, glory, glory. Well, anyway, I don't think I'm going to be too long tonight. This is going to be pretty simple blog talk, but hey, glory to the King. It is the Word, and there's no doubt, again, as it's been stressed over and over and over again, that we definitely get fed the rich Word of the Most High. Of course, what the shepherd spoke about yesterday for Shabbat service, if that wasn't a meal in itself, as we can use them terms. These things, they shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And when Pastor hit about that, the point about, you can do all the deliverance and do all the things and the works of the Most High and have all, appearance that you're really, righteous and holy, and then you step into the kingdom, stand before Yah, and having any of those things that Paul had listed, oh boy, that'd be a rough day. That would be a rude awakening. But hey, Yah's good. He warns us continually over and over and over again to strive to enter in, to turn from sin, to run from sin, to flee from it. I know there's no title up there. Honestly, it was one of these deals again where I kept asking the Father for something, what topic, which way to go. I was getting nothing. I don't know why, but hey, glory to the King. It's amazing when we just wait on Yah and His time. We don't understand why He does things a certain way when it's, but He has set everything in order. Everything's in perfect order, and just waiting on Him always brings satisfaction and success. So I was waiting. I just got this, yesterday or the day before, I think it was. And then something else fell into my lap about it as well, so that kind of confirmed the direction I was supposed to go tonight. But we're going to talk about impatience. We're not going to get, it's going to be a lengthy blog talk, but I just felt it was, Yah apparently felt it was time for to talk about the spirit of impatience or an impatient character. Because especially in this country, in the Western culture, if there is anything that we are almost groomed to receive is that impatient type of atmosphere. Even growing up in the country, I can see the difference in the country, the rural area I grew up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s versus today what this rural area is, there's still a slowness to the atmosphere, but there's still a different type of character even behind that slowness. There's not there's a, how do you want to say it? It's not, I really can't put my finger on it, but there definitely is a difference in it. And so what I'm trying to say is, you know, pride, impatience, hastiness, it doesn't really matter what it, now, if you get more in the city environment, something like that, you definitely see it manifest more. Because we're taught go, 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 go. You know, the Western culture is, you know, fast food, fast phone, fast everything. Get it done. Get, you know, we got such a list of things in front of us that we believe we need to be doing that it's a go, 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 go. And all that does is endanger your spiritual life, your mental health, your physical health, because it genders to things like stress and anxiety and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, that is the title tonight. Again, appreciate y'all joining me tonight in this edition of Blog Talk Radio. Hope you enjoy the show. Like I said, it won't be extremely long. It's one of the shorter ones, but we're just going to use some examples coming right out of the Bible and when things that have happened in the history of our people. And then I got this. This is what kind of fell across my lap the other day and kind of confirmed about going this direction. But some of you all may have heard of it, some may have not, but there was a an article written or a short pamphlet or whatever you want to call it by Boris Sikorsky, I think his name was. Hope I didn't butcher it too bad, but he was a young child growing up in Russia in the turn of the century, you know, the early 1920s, 30s, that type of thing. And he catalogs or writes about what happened in his life and as far as his involvement with the Most High and what he did with the people in Russia back then. It's called A Call to the Churches in America. So it's basically what he did is wrote this down because he went from Russia and he ended up in Canada. And he wrote this out. And it's basically a warning to the extreme lackness and sincerity that this Western culture has promoted as far as serving the Most High, the passion and the righteousness to please the Most High just isn't in this culture. And we know that firsthand, but anyway, we'll get to that. So with that, we're going to get started again. The title tonight is Impatience. I'm sure, I hope you enjoy the show. Again, appreciate y'all coming in the room tonight. Good to see every one of you. All right. Israelites have always been charged to be patient and waiting for whatever the will of Yah might be for them in their lives as ambassadors for his kingdom. But the flesh of man does not like to wait for things and seeks to control situations and circumstances according to his or her own ways. And this always throws a monkey wrench into that which Yah is planning to accomplish. And especially in the Western cultures, where impatience is the norm, where people want satisfaction and fulfillment right here and now. They want answers right here and now. And I got a list of some of the characteristics of impatience. As I sat there and thought about it, as I was reading the word, my examples that I use, I just pulled a lot of that right out of there. And plus, you know, your personal experience is the best teacher, or the best way to relate, you know, things that you have actually gone through in your life. All right, certain characteristics of impatience. Of course, it's acting hastily. It's oftentimes proceeding without thought. It's overreacting. It's irritability. It's becoming angry or frustrated. It's very demanding. It's a murmuring, a complaining spirit. It's forcing things to happen to get some sort of satisfaction. It will shut your ears from actually hearing what somebody's trying to speak with a kind of a entreating type of tone or suggestion. It's carelessly hurried, meaning that when people get operating in this impatient spirit, the spirit of impatience, you may actually endanger others around you by not reigning or have controlling of that. It's definitely compromised. It genders to mistakes, unnecessary mishaps and accidents. And ultimately, it's a great act of selfishness because it's all about you. And it is a spirit. It is a demonic spirit. It's an entity. I actually have testimony, and I have recollection of more than one person, I mean, at least a handful, maybe a dozen or more, that have actually got delivered from the spirit of impatience, and they have a testimony that it made a big difference in their life, and learned from them to wait and to be calm and to approach situations differently, you know, especially in, you know, my own personal experience in the realms of working on cars, mechanics, building, whatever the case may be, we're going to get into that more, but, you know, just, and I believe that at least I think we're all listening tonight can relate some way or shape or form of acting in a, allowing impatience to actually govern us in whatever the situation, circumstances. And you know it really gets difficulty when the body's tired, when it's wore out, when it's overloaded, when things just keep coming out of nowhere, adding. And, you know, the comfort level in the flesh is not there, or in the mind, there's not peace, you know, whatever. So we'll try to take in, you know, somebody's operating that spirit, bring it to a conclusion, whatever way, shape, or form, to, so we can just be clear of the situation. But oftentimes, and most times, and almost every occasion, it makes things worse rather than better. And then you find out you're going to have to be repentant and, you know, confess and repent and for things that you shouldn't have done or said, operating in a patient spirit. But anyway, again, I'm grateful always, Brother Ugly, for the posting up the scriptures for the saints to follow and the definitions. Oh, Brother Ugly, don't speak that on you, Brother Ugly. You didn't damage your hearing. You're fine, man. Y'all can take him and heal you. Hallelujah. Claim healing in Jesus' name. All right, we're going to start in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, verses 1 through 4. James 1, 1 through 4. James, the servant of the Most High and of the Master Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. To the 12 tribes, to the sons of the patriarch Jacob, huh? The 12 tribes, no, nothing in there about the 12 churches, or the Catholics and the Lutherans, it's the 12 tribes of Israel. Pretty simple, cut and dry, right? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Man, now there is a thing that is challenging every time when a temptation comes and a trial. When these things come, but they're there to do something, as all things are, because Yah said he is going to allow us these things to come in our life, and they come because they need to show us where we're lacking or where we're susceptible. You know, you might have an area in your life that you've never been tried on, you've never been tested on, and then because in all points, as Yahshua was, we're going to be tempted as well, because we have to be able to get that perfection, that wholeness, that completeness. So you may have never had to deal with envy and jealousy, and all of a sudden you're in a situation, the spirit is attacking you. So count it joy that you're actually getting tried. You can challenge it and get clean of it, get pure and get away from it. So that's where the joy should be, okay? Then you can learn to trust in Yah and wait on Him and in His timing to bring you to, you know, the knowledge of what's going on so you can be safely delivered. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, of the things that you claim and hold to believe, worketh patience. You know, there is no way to show us what is might be working in us. We are not allowed to face the things that are not of Yah. It shows us truly where we need to be made whole. And I'm kind of just reflecting again on what I already said. All right, verse 4. But let or allow patience to have her perfect work. So what it's saying is somebody that is impatient or hasty will not allow, or does not allow, or inhibits or prohibits patience from having a perfect work, or allowing you to be perfected or made whole by walking in patience, not impatience, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 36. Hebrews 2, 32 through 36. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. So there's going back, call to remembrance, reflect on this stuff. Now, Paul's talking to the assembly at that time, but he's also telling them to draw from history of Israel, from a history of our people, what happened. And then you were illuminated and what you had to deal with when all of a sudden the microscope was on you as Yah's people. Partly while she were made gazing stocks by both reproaches and afflictions, and partly while she became companions of them that were so used. Others around you that were going through the same thing. For you had compassion of me and my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Remember, let patience have her perfect work, which have a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. So the one defining thing that is being talked about here is that patience is the thing that, I know we're talking about impatience, but we have to talk about patience in this way that people understand that what they should be doing and not doing. So you have need of patience. You actually have need of it. You're not there. You're not perfected. You haven't gone through everything. So you have need of patience and more patience that after you have done the will of Yah. So patience allows the will of Yah to be done in your life. You might receive the promise. Because he desires to his true anointed, his true saints, his true sons and daughters. He delights in working through you, using you as servants to do his will, because he's out here to accomplish something. And you can't do that when you're not operating in the spirit, but or in the flesh, excuse me. All right, Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. Again, a warning from the Apostle Paul. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And there's a connection between those that operate in the spirit of impatience or hastiness being actually labeled as a fool or foolish. So see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Taking every occasion you can to endeavor in the things that generate a holiness, to righteousness, to truth, whether it's in prayer or fasting or reading your word or listening to, the preachings and the teachings, anything that edifies and fills up your spirit. Wherefore be not unwise, don't be as fools and unwise, but understanding what the will of the Most High is. So it's going to take somebody with a rational mind, a mind that's actually walking circumspect, keeping his thoughts and his heart's focus on the Most High, so we can discern what his will is for us in our life. Because oftentimes, that's a key reason why we get impatient, or people get impatient, because Yah isn't acting in their time. So they operate in the spirit of patience because they're determined, they're going to accomplish whatever it is they believe should be done in their time instead of waiting on the Most High. Proverbs 14, chapter 29. Jesus, help me, Father. Chapter 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of a great understanding, because when you're in a state of anger or rage or wrath, there's no self-control, there's no thought. It's just the acting out of the spirit. But he that is slow, he that actually does not allow that that characteristic, that spirit, whatever you want to call it, that act of flesh to come over him, loses the ability to understand. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So here you got tied impatience, hastiness, and it actually exalts more, or lifts up foolishness, actually the one that's acting in it or doing it. All right, back into the Torah, Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 12, and of course, this account has been read, and there's so much to glean out of this account. There's so many spiritual dynamics to this that, I mean, every time you read it, you can see something else that was operating here, how Satan was actually taking advantage of the people because he was catering on their flesh and making focus on the flesh and their reactions. That's the thing that has to be keyed in on. All right, Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Then the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. You got to have somebody to blame, right? They got to blame somebody. So they know they can't, you know, we can't just sit there and point the finger at Yah and say he's at fault. So you have to take something that's, that's here in front of you, that's you can touch, feel, breathe, that type of thing, you know, that you can recognize and relate to as in another man, obviously, because he's the spokesperson, and start, you know, pointing your disfaction and dissatisfaction and spiritual attitude against him or her. And the people chose with Moses and spake, saying, would Yah that we have died when our brethren died before the Most High? And why have you brought up, now, of course, here's the blame, and why have you brought up the congregation of the Most High in the wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? So the whole time they saw again, they saw all the mighty works of Yah. They saw where he led them one step at a time, how he preserved them from their captors, how they escaped from their captors, how they came to be set apart and liberated and free now. And also now they, because how easily, and that again, because there's a spiritual dynamic here. Right away, when we're operating in the flesh, we forget what Yah has done for us. It's all about us and our selfish ways and our selfish ideas and what's going to make us feel better and comfortable, you know, catering to the flesh, you know, exclusively. And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of cedar or figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. You know, people expect instant satisfaction and gratification. When they don't get it, they will push and pull in order to be satisfied. People are demanding and expect others, especially leaders, to drop everything that they are doing and cater to their problems, which most often are birthed from sheer carnality. And they are. They're actually from sheer carnality. There's no, Yah isn't at all. I mean, I got to tell you, personally, as an elder, and the great deal of situations that come across my doorstep, last week, I don't know if, you know, like Pastor mentioned, I don't know if you said it during service yesterday, but last week was probably one of my heaviest weeks. And I'm not saying that to get sympathy or anything else, because, you know, in our positions, that is expected, people come to us. But what totally amazes me is there's actually people that come in almost demanding, I expect you to drop what you're doing because I need attention to my whatever issue I got going on now. And a lot of times this stuff, these issues that these people are talking about, these people that call themselves saints, is that this is stuff that they've wrapped themselves up in, that they've actually produced it themselves because of they weren't operating in the spirit of truth. They were operating in the flesh. They get themselves in trouble, and they want you to instantly bail them out. You know what I do? I've started making a practice. I'll make them wait. I will definitely make them wait, because I'm not going to go to any spirit that's demanding instant satisfaction for whatever the situation is for me to bail them. You can wait. You will wait. Let patience have her perfect work, right? That's a good test of patience, because, hey, I have to keep my sanity too, right? Hey, glory to the King. And, grateful that, of course, we got Pastor to bring more weighty matters too, but, oh boy, you know, I just can't be running to him every time that we got something across the doorstep too, or he'd be overloaded. So you have to learn to discern when and when not to bring it up the chain of command. But I'll tell you, yeah, it is the truth. People they forget who they're talking to. They forget that it's, I could start going on in stories right now. I actually dealt with a few of them in the past week and spoke to a few people actually listening tonight about situations that happened. And yeah, Oh, my God. Anyway, glory to the King. All right, where are we? All right, number verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of Yahweh appeared on them. Because obviously they knew what was about to happen, right? Because anytime the murmuring, complaining, the pissing, the moaning, everything all of a sudden is at the forefront. They lose all, forget everything that Yah had ever done for them. And or what he's done for us, and all we want is his satisfaction. They already know because they're staying in tune with what's going on in the spirit, Moses and Aaron. And they're trying to intercede right away so these people all don't get killed because Yah ain't putting up with that crap. And the Most High spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring them forth, bring forth to them water of the rock, so they shall give the congregation and their beasts drink. And again, the premise of the whole idea behind the story is because they got impatient. They needed something to satisfy their flesh right then and there. They viewed all the miracles that Yah had already done for them, one by one, and they even had a testimony whatever Yah says we're going to do. But all of a sudden, the flesh, everything that they wanted impatience just came out of nowhere and caused them to murmur, complain, to backbite, to speak directly, to attack the leadership. That don't go on in here no more, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, and thou shalt give the congregation their beast drinks. And Moses took the rod from before the Most High as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, here now, you rebels, must we fetch water out of the rock. Clear demonstration that Moses' spirit had enough, and he acted indirectly from, he allowed somebody else's impatience. Moses got impatient, too. See, that's the point I'm trying to make. He couldn't take it. He was so upset and angry with what the people had already challenged the Most High, not so much him, but challenged him, that he lost his patience with the people, and he went and smacked the rock instead of speaking to it. And so he disobeyed Yah, and because he did that, he allowed his own spirit of spirit of impatience to get a hold of him. What that did is Yah had a punishment for him, and Moses lifted up his hand and his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. The congregation drank, and the beast also. And the Most High spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore she will not bring this congregation in the land which I have given them. And oftentimes you'll find when if people are challenging like that and you feel yourself getting impatient with them, you feel yourself getting fed up with what they got going on, the best thing to do is get up and leave. Just walk out or cut them off. You know, just shut them down so you don't act irrationally, so you don't let your anger express you rather than sound reasoning and righteousness. Because ultimately, here, I mean, this cost Moses dearly. I mean, really, kept him out of going into the promised land just because he got impatient and let the people push him. And it actually, you know, caused him to go against what the Most High said. So, yeah, it is a dangerous thing. And believe me, it attacked the mind, too. Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 9. 32:1-9. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, Elohims, little mighty ones, which shall go before us. For as this man Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what is become. Again, the people here are getting impatient. They're waiting for Moses to come back down out of the mountain so they can get resolution to whatever's going on. You know, the whole idea is they're supposed to be going across in the promised land. They want things. They want satisfaction today, right now. Get it. Where is he? You know, and they start to question. They start to question Moses, but they're actually questioning the Most High. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them in. And again, they allowed, here we have somebody in leadership, allowed the irrational behavior of the people to sway them. And you have to ask, you know, I want to read this. You have to ask Aaron if he was right there with me. You got to know he had the same doubts that they did. That's why he was so easily swayed. I really believe that, because he was like, what's taking so long? You know, Yah can do a mighty work in seconds, but he doesn't operate on our time. He operates on his time. And all the people break off the golden earring which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them with their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a molten calf and said, these be thy mighty ones, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Oh boy. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast unto the Most High. So which feast, what are they going to dedicate a feast unto these gods they just fashioned? Ultimately, couldn't have been, I mean, here in the King James, they got the capital L-O-R-D, but, you know, they just got them making new gods for themselves and giving them the credibility and looking for them to lead them and guide them. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. People sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Well, that's what you do at a feast, right? And the Most High said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves terribly too. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto. And said, these be thy Elohims, O Israel, which have brought thee out in the land of Egypt. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Again, another demonstration of where the people got impatient, and they wanted answers right now. They wanted satisfaction right this very minute. They wanted things in their control, and when it didn't come, that impatient spirit allowed them to act out of character, to completely forget about the Most High, and you have to read the rest of the story because Yah was wanting to kill them all and Moses interceded. So, but yeah, you have to read in context. I, you know, just needed that part for the study. So, let me see. Alrighty, I'm going to take a ministry break quick. I really didn't think I was going to be this long, but, you know, about 45 minutes. But anyway, we're going to take a ministry break in case there's any new listeners out there, just in case, but. Lordy King, we'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L. INGTON, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled LAFAYETTE 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Glory to the King is coming. The words have been reflected and said over and over and over, ain't they? They should be. All right, glory to the King. Back on, continuing on the study. Jumping right back into it, Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to bring another count out here. I'm sure you already get kind of the theme of this, or seeing the illustrations here right from our own people. Genesis 25, 23, starting in verse 23 and ending up in verse 34. And the Most High said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. And I'm assuming we're back on the air. Lord of the King. He said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be younger, stronger. Help me, Jesus. Bifocals. Ah, bifocals. Ay, ay, ay. And two manner of people shall be separated from their bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the other shall serve the younger. And again, we're going to talk about Esau and Jacob and the fact that what he did, Esau did, because of his impatient nature, had long-term effects. In fact, it had a long-term damnation effects. So there's always some price to sin, some price to pay for acting irrationally or impatiently. I mean, this is, it can get, the cost can get extremely, extremely bad, extremely costly, to the point where it can keep you out of the kingdom. So that's why it's so important to get rule over your spirit and not act in a hasty way or a impatient manner. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were two twins in her womb. And first came out all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came out his brother, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him. He was 60 years old. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob saw pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. So here we start to see the transition from, it's starting to describe the character and the condition of what Esau's mind was as he's coming up out of the field, okay? He was faint. Obviously, he was hungry, and we're going to find, well, of course, we all know the story, but he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore, his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at a point to die, and what shall profit shall this birthright do to me? So clearly, we have Esau. This is always the marvel, too. I don't know if many people might catch this. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But we have Esau, right? The Bible said he was faint. He was coming out of the field. It says also he was a cunning hunter. And something that that hunters, real cunning means skilled and very good at his craft, very good at securing game, food. And I know because I started hunting when I was, 12 years old. I came out of a hunting family, as most of you know. We hunted everything, right? That's just what we did. That we had a passion for it. We hunted, birds on the land, birds on the water. Of course, everything that was unclean. Back in this heathen, especially deer hunting. When you start doing in the realms of hunting deer and hunting turkey, You gotta have patience, because if you're out there, you're sitting in a deer stand is the way I prefer to hunt, strictly because we don't have the woods to still hunt in. But even that, you have to be patient. So you have Esau here. His trait was, or his real strong point in his life is that he was a cunning hunter, very skilled, and he had to have practiced patience. He knew how to obtain it in that aspect of his life. But you see, what we do is that we have certain areas in our life where we can have all the patience in the world, okay, especially when the focus is there and we're there to attain something. But there's other areas in our life that it don't matter. You know, it's like a okay, I'll tell on myself. When it comes to driving, right, I have this motto in my head, you know, and I have people that can tell you about that have been riding with me, okay, is that that's one area I need to work on. I just confess that I have to. But, you know, when I get out there, I don't like being out in the world. I really don't. And if I've been out in it for a while, it's like I just want to get back to the community, want to get out of this crap, right? Just, my God, you know, I start to get impatient. And I don't want to go to the next store. I don't want to go to the next stop. I just want to get home, you know, just, and then you get the traffic. So, like here on, we call it Galen Road, for those of you who've been here that come into the community, right? And the speed limit is 45. Well, it's posted. If it says 45, they drive 35, or maybe 40 if it's a good day, you know, if it's sunny out and stuff. And it's like, man, and it's like, will you go? You know, it's I just got to calm, you know, just stay by. Why? Because the speed limit says 45, and they're actually robbing my ability to go the speed limit. That's the way I look at it to justify it, you know. They're actually hindering me from being able to fulfill my right or my lawful right on that road to drive that speed. So I got a different way of justifying it because I got this idea that any posted speed limit I should be able to do safely, do at least 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. And it's always worked. I've never had a ticket because of it. But that's just one area that Elder Becker deals in. And some days it's actually getting better. I mean, I will say that I'm trying, you know, I've heard, been told enough in the past that the words come into my head and, you know, slow down and you're going, no need to get there that fast. You'll get there. So it's an extra 10 minutes later, you know, whole thing. But anyway, yeah, what I'm saying is, so I can sit out in the woods all day long and have patience for, you know, waiting for the animals to come. You might not see nothing all day, but again, this is just an illustration. It's just another area in my life that still got to get victory over. So it's still something working, and ultimately I probably really have to sit down and take a look at this and maybe get delivered from the spirit of impatience so I can beat this thing, right? But hey, just telling myself, and that's, you know, just part of it. Just being honest with yourself, you know, examining yourself. But glory to the King. So we're going to move on to that. You know, the rest of the story. He sold his birthright, and it cost him his, not only himself, but it cost all the generations after him just because he was so impatient. He wanted something to eat right then and there. And he sold it. He was actually willing to compromise because of that spirit of impatience, and it cost Esau and his generations forever that they will never see eternity in glory. They will spend eternity in hell because Yah hates Esau. That was the compromise that allowed this man and his generations forever so they can, again, one spirit did that much damage. Well, actually, there was multiple spirits there, but he was in there as well, that impatient spirit. Acting out of character, acting without reasonable logic, without reasonable thought. He did not wait on the Most High. I mean, Esau could have went to one of the servants or went to Rebekah and said, look, I'm really hungry. Can you make me something? He could have waited another 20 minutes. Maybe she had a loaf of bread. But the first person he walked up to was his brother. And because he was so faint to the point where, you know, he wasn't going to die. But yeah, he had to have something. He had to have satisfaction right then and there. And it cost him his soul. Just that quick. So again, be careful. It might seem a little thing. It might seem meaningless. But once you cross that line, who knows what the payment might be. So you really got to sit there with a sound mind. That's why it's so critical to wait on Yah. And trusting in the Father. You don't think the devil come at you for that, man. Just not. It might take a day. It might take a week. It might take 2 months. It might take 2 years. But the waiting is worth it because the reward is to you, and the benefit that comes to you is you can't exchange it. There's no price on it, just simply by waiting. And it pleases Yah because he knows he has a faithful and obedient servant. Psalm 37, verse 1 through 7. No, 1 through 9. Psalm 37, 1 through 9. So patience is a work of perfection. Yeah, and your patience possesses your soul. Hold on to them. The mind, will, and emotions. By not acting rationally, out of character, or hastily, or compromise, or selfishness, everything that... So if you have it oftentimes demonstrate these spirits, it could very well be that there's some type of spirit of impatience there, a hasty spirit that you really got to take a look at yourself and get it cast out before it does, damages that can't be undone. All right. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be, because the first point is retaliation, right? I mean, if somebody is actually trying to perpetrate evil against you or send evil against you or come some way in your life to cause you to trip or to fall, in the right way, the admonishment here is to fret not yourself. They're going to get their due. They will get their payment. Yah will take care of them. Now, if they're not doing physical harm to you, honestly, okay? Now, you know what I'm saying? If they're going to come at you and actually mean physical harm for you, yeah, take them out, definitely. You know, that's preservation. That's a different story altogether. But if they're speaking evil against you, trying to get people to rise up against you, don't let your spirit get all messed up where you act out because you're not willing to wait for Yah's judgment. You're going to take matters in your own hands, quite possibly make them worse. But they shall be cut down like the grass and withers the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. So just keep your eyes and focus on the Most High. Delight thyself also in the Most High, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Most High. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And doing all these things will help keep that spirit of impatience and hasty spirit away from you. And the benefits, again, are unspeakable from what you get from just waiting on the Most High, no matter. Commit your prayer to him, ask your petition. And if it's right, you know, and not consuming on your own lust, you're not asking amiss, you will get it. Just delight yourself in the Most High, and he shall give it, but on his time, not yours. They shall bring forth righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Again, these are all things that, it's there to sway you. It's there to, because it might be something that you're hoping to attain to some type of gain, some type of wealth, some type of, something more beneficial to your life. But wait on the Father. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Let him do it in his time. Don't try to get impatient and go out there and try to get it for yourself, because normally that type of work or that type of, whatever it is that you seek to obtain isn't going to last, and actually it will probably fall quicker away from you than anything if Yah had given it to you, you know, to be a lasting substance, if you know what I'm talking about. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. Again, there is a direction there, and your patience possess your soul, because the inheritance is this earth. All right, we're going to jump into, I'm going to read some excerpts out of this Call to the Churches in America. Hang on 2 seconds. I don't know what's going on. All right. Again, you can download this PDF online. You can just type in a call to the churches in America PDF, and it usually is the first thing that comes up on the Google search or whatever browser you use, and it just downloads automatically. It's 25 pages, real simple reading, but it's very, when I read this, you know, I've read this several times, I've forgotten a lot of it. When I went back and reread it, what was really incredible about reading this story, and I think it is something that everybody should read and not forget, is that you had a group of people in Russia that these are simple people, mostly farmers, as this guy relates in his story, but they had such Holy Ghost, you know, Holy Spirit anointing and power and demonstration. And the crazy thing is that they didn't even have Bibles, most of them. So what they heard was like word of mouth from other people. But a lot of what they did is they attest to in the stories, as Boris writes, is that they just heard the voice of Yah. These people would spend hours in prayer. Literally 2, 3, 4 hours was nothing uncommon for them. They were always seeking Yah's face, always seeking his direction, always looking for him to lead them in the smallest of things. And one part that you'll read in there in this article is that their women were adorned in modest apparel, and they wore head coverings, and they didn't know that it was actually in the Word. They did it under the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was so prominent and strong with these people that he would actually direct them. They would get witness and get an unction from the Holy Spirit to go to so-and-so. The Holy Spirit would give them the name of the person and where they lived, because these person needed to hear the word of truth. And so they would take two men, they would go over there, knock on. Sure enough, there was somebody there that needed to hear the word of the Most High, right? And they'd start ministering to them and talking about the gospel of the kingdom, or at least what they knew about it. And that was enough to not only know the power these people were speaking out of, but these people were able to hear such truth and passion. I mean, it's really incredible. But going back to the head covering thing again, you know, they just did it because this is obedient out of the Holy Spirit. And then they actually got a Bible. I think it was from another language, but they had somebody that was actually able to translate it, if I remember. And they found out that this is exactly written in the Bible, and they were supposed to be doing this. So they had just had confirmation time and time again that this was truly the Spirit of the Most High leading them. But anyway, you know, I have to fill all this in because, of course, I'm not going to read out. I'm just taking excerpts from what he wrote. But another thing that really stuck out, too, is they didn't have the distractions. And today it's difficult to leave the distractions because they're, especially in a ministry this size, there is, a constant need someplace. So you have to find a different way of balancing your time in prayer and the things that come before, you know, the ministry or anything else, family or anything else in your life. Anyway, so limit the distractions. But they had very little in that way, and they were able to commit freely more time in the Most High. And they were a very happy process. They did, it talks about the gifts and the wonders that they did, the healings and the deliverances. And, you know, they were on the apostle scale is what they were. And people kept seeing this, and more people were added, more people. But in the 1900s, I believe it was, maybe after, during the Bolshevik Revolution, where there was a change from the regular regime coming into the communist way, and that happened over the 20s and finally really took hold in the 1930s, if you remember in your history, and this talks about it in here as well, too, but that's when the persecution started against the assemblies there. They called themselves Christian. They didn't know really what else. There is indication they did keep Yah's commandments, though it doesn't say verbatim anything about the Sabbath day or anything, but talking about keeping his commands. So I'm going to go ahead and read some of the excerpts, because this follows exactly what the Israelites did back in the time of the Exodus. It's the same manner of impatience and selfishness and satisfaction and logic and reasoning that allows the spirit of impatience to flourish. So it says, I'll start, this would be page 6 in this book that, of course, you ain't got in front of you, but it says, about 1928, the Most High started to speak throughout all those home groups in Russia about the future days to come. And the Most High said by the Holy Spirit, my children, there will be great starvation coming in this land after that. Great bloodshed and much suffering in this country. My children, whoever will believe my voice and obey me, he's giving condition here again. This is right up front, because obviously everybody's going to agree with that, just like the children of Israel did at Mount Sinai. Yeah, whatever the Yahweh you say, we will obey. Okay, so, you know, and again, they're telling themselves right in there, yeah, they will. We're going to do whatever you say, Father. Well, believe my voice and obey me. I will lead you out to another country. I want to deliver you and save you from the great sufferings which are coming onto this land. And they really clamped down from 1933 on. Okay, I'll read the line before. So from 1917 to 1933, there was relative freedom, freedom of movement, freedom of preach the gospel. There wasn't much persecution at that time, but they really clamped down from 1933 on. It was a time of ruthless persecution and trouble for Russia. But until then, there was still a relative freedom to preach the gospel. People lived very freely, had their own houses and their own cattle. Mostly they were farmers, so they had their own farms. And according to a farmer's standard, they were quite well off. So there was the cost. And the Most High was speaking, meaning that they had valuables there that they could have just held on to and stayed, you know, and because they were living pretty well concerning the day. And the Most High was speaking that he wanted to deliver them from the future suffering, but he set a condition. Whoever will believe my voice and obey me, I will lead them out. Remember, Boris is recounting this from his childhood, what happened, because he grew up around this. So then out of those thousands and thousands of Christians used by Yah in Russia to proclaim the gospel and spread the message of the living Elohim, just a few hundred believed this warning. And I'm just going to read how they got it instead of using the Hebrew words. And the Lord said to them, my children, seek my face, and I pray, and I will direct you. So he's telling them, this is what you need to do to get sound, proper, sure direction. All right, you need to seek my face. And so eventually, about 1931, the message came from the Lord. My people, it is time to move out. First of all, the Lord will always speak in advance. As you read the Word of God, first in the Old Testament, and then in the New, the Lord always warns God's people in advance. He will tell them of things to come because Christ promised. He said, when I go away, I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will tell you of things to come. He will also tell you all the things I have taught. Yes, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So in 1931, the call of God came. My people, get ready to move out. Yes, and there were just a few hundred people that were praying and saying, Lord, where do you want us to go? So they're seeking direction. They know it's time to move, which means the persecution, the suffering that was they were forewarned about is at their doorstep. But they're going to wait on the Yah. They're not going to allow themselves to get impatient and act on their own volition. They are going to wait on the Most High. Because when the Lord warns you, then it's time to seek his face. If he warns you of future things to come, if he warns you of any danger, that's really the time to fast and pray and seek the will of the Most High for his further instruction. So they were praying, and the Lord said, my children, this is the next city you must go in. Being farmers in Russia with horse and buggy, they did not have cars. They did not have trucks at that time. And even now, Russia is still backward in the way of machinery on the farms. I don't know when this was written, but anyhow, at that time, it was just horse and buggy, and there was just one central railroad through Russia. So anyhow, the Lord told these farmers, you who never traveled more than 100 kilometers in their lifetime, maybe to the next village in the horse and buggy, to these farmers, the Lord said he will move them into another country. You know, it's like the Exodus again. They're going into a new land, a new promised land. Not so much flowing milk and honey, but a place of safety where they can be taken care of. So then these people were moving from town to town by direct instruction of the Lord, like the days of old. They knew the place to go, and so eventually they came to the border of China. So the Most High is taking them out of their own country, Russia, and China is a designation. That's the destination, to where they were going to end up. And there they were tested. Right here, they came to the border of China. This were the real test. For the whole time, see, Yah was setting them up, just like he did with the children of Israel. They were obedient. and he would tell them exactly where to go. And it was all where they didn't have the persecution. They were just, they would go here, they would go there, they'd go this direction, that direction, and it always worked out really well. I mean, it went flawlessly every time, reading between the lines, but that's what they had. But now they come, they've been doing this all this time, but now they come to the border, and this is where the real test of obedience is going to come. Now, if you would remember in the days of Israel, as they were being led out of Egypt, the Lord told them when to start out and move, and the Lord told them when to stop. And they camped and stayed until the Lord told them to move. So then the time came for this group of about 200 or 300 families to move south. They came to the border of Russia and China, and there was a stopping place there. And all the people were praying all along the way, saying they never ceased in prayer, continually seeking his face in their journeys, whether in where they were at, when they were walking, when they were moving, when they were at stillness, you know, sitting still. They were all praying along the way, saying, Yahweh, what's next? Lord, what do we do now? And the Lord said, my children, just wait and be patient, and I will tell you when to move. So they were praying. They were asking for Yah for a word, and he gave it to them. He said, just hang loose, be patient. We'll get you where you need to be going, okay? And so so far they've trusted him. They counted on him and this big group of 200 or 300. In the meantime, they had to feed their children. They left their cattle. They left their horse. They left their land, and everything was left behind. So they're telling you that they still had to have care for their family, just like the children in Israel, okay? And there was a small group out of the whole of Russia, those who had decided to pay the price of obedience and leave everything behind. And that was a small group. So this group, they're going to leave. They're going to trust what Yahweh is telling them, and they're up and out of there. So anyhow, they left everything, and here they had to feed the children. And the Russian families had many children. So what did they do? They had to go around searching for work here and there. They went into orchards. They dug channels for irrigation and different things. They had to occupy till they were told to move again. So they had to set up camp, and Yahweh wasn't just going to, you know, miraculously sustain them. They got after it and got busy, right? Kept himself occupied, because an idle mind is the devil's workshop. It really is. That's what Sodom's crimes were, idleness of time. Doing anything and everything possible, trying to get a piece of bread. They were seeking to sustain themselves. And there was a problem of accommodations. There was always a problem of accommodations in Russia, even now. So then they had to live someplace. So what they did was they went in a little ways outside of the town, and they dug caves into the side of a mountain. And the whole group was living in those caves quite a length of time, praying and seeking the face of the Lord, saying, Lord, what is next? They continued still to seek him. Even though he said, just wait it out here, they still keep petitioning Yah, what's next? That was their dwelling place. Instead of turning it into another foul spirit, and, you know, an impatient spirit, any other anger, frustration, whatever, they just kept seeking his face, knowing that that's part of waiting on the Most High, petitioning, asking him. And he got here. He says, I wonder how many bathrooms they had. Well, did they have flushing toilet? I'm not sure. I didn't ask my mother. Did they have running water in those caves when they dug them? Did they have separate bedrooms and privacies with door locks? Probably not. I'm not sure what they had there. But each family lived in the cave in just a hole in the mountain. But praise Yah, that was a group that was willing to follow the Lord at any cost. So early in the morning at 5 o'clock, one brother would come and he would start to sing a song. In the 5 o'clock in the morning, he had a brother that would sing a psalm, get the whole congregation built up, get them in their mind into the Most High, into praise, into worship, get their focus started in a good way that day. That's the way you should enter into your prayer closet too. Singing psalms and hymns of praise. Get your heart right before you seek the Most High. Russian sang a lot of psalms put to music, and he would sing loud in a big voice, and everybody would wake up and wash their faces and come out, and they would start worshiping the Most High right on the grass, right in front of the caves, praising God and sending their praise to the Lord, seeking for his guidance, for his instruction, for his protection as a group. But before long, the murmuring started in the camp. Following the Lord is not all carpet and roses. If you read the Bible sincerely, just check how the men of old lived, like Elijah, Isaiah, or Micah. or other prophets, how did they live? What luxuries did they have? Did they live a luxurious life? Did they live a comfortable life? Did they live a rich life? Consider, how many bedrooms did Elijah have for his accommodation? Or any of the prophets? Oh, what about the apostles? So these people were seeking the face of the Lord, but still the murmuring started in the camp. They said, now we left those cattle. We left our going. Okay, same spirit is entering back on this group of people after they saw the marvelous demonstrations, not only in the cities they came out of, but all the way through this wilderness journey up until this point. And there's no milk for the children here. Lord, what do we do? And the people started to complain and murmur, and wives started to complain to their husbands. Uh-oh, the weaker vessels. Satan's getting to the weaker vessels. Now, what is this? We are stuck here. There's nothing happening. We don't hear any more instructions. So, men, it's your obligation and duty, not only to your household, but to the whole, to the assembly, that you get your house in order, including your wives and children. So this type of thing won't happen if this ever comes down to it. And I believe we're going to get tested in the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing happening. We don't hear any more instructions from the Lord. And he told us he would lead us to a new country. And here we are still in Russia, and we are in such poverty. And so, remember the guy said, this is where the real testing began, the real trial. And the people started to complain. And then quite a few of them decided to go back to their own land. They couldn't take it anymore. They got impatient. They got sick and tired of waiting on Yah. They're going to make their own way now. They decided they're going to make their own choice and risk everything. And again, this is the thing that is another clear demonstration of what an impatient spirit, the end result of an impatient spirit will give you. And it wasn't good, so but we'll read about it. We'll go back. This must not have been from the Lord. They're starting to question all this mighty stuff. They couldn't have been. If it shall possible, it shall deceive even the very elect. Even though the Lord moved them supernaturally from city to city, they never had maps. There were no geography maps in those days, so how would they have known what city to go to next? They were brought to the border of another country. They knew it was the Lord, yet they started to murmur and complain, and quite a big group decided to go back to their cattle, to their farming, to their warm houses, to the degree of comfort, even though you couldn't compare their houses to the houses in Canada and America today, but still, it was relatively good comfort. They had surrounded yourselves in something that's comfort, so it brings peace to the mind. So they were longing, in a sense, for Egypt like the Israelites. Did they not say, let's get rid of Moses, let appoint new leaders, and let us go back to Egypt? Life was different there. We had onions, we had garlic, we had all the good things there, but out here we will die in this wilderness. Is that not the same spirit of unbelief and the same spirit of murmuring that could be among Yah's people today? Following the Lord and his guidance and direction is not always carpet and roses. Then during prayer, the Lord finally said, my children, just be patient and humble yourselves and pray, and I will lead you to another country. I am going to save you from the great trouble and great suffering. So you had these discontents that left, and here you got Yah starting to speak to them again, to the ones that were righteous and stayed there. So if you're ever in a situation that, hey, people are petitioning Yah as a group and nothing seems to be moving, this is a possibility that Yah is waiting for something to happen. Then after that happens, then he'll start speaking again. Because these people allowed doubt, they allowed their selfish behavior, they allowed all kinds of spirits to come in. Yah already knew where their heart was. They were in disbelief and unbelief, and he gave them what they wanted. So after they left, then he started speaking to the people again. I'm going to save you from great trouble and great suffering. Just trust me. But if anyone will return, their children will be taken away from them. Their husbands will be taken off to Siberia. The Lord said that right there on the border of China, and some of the mothers will eat the flesh of the babies if you return. In spite of that warning, the majority of the group returned. So I'm sorry, but they were still there when they heard this. But nonetheless, what I did say was right. So, there were only about 40 families left by the border, faithful to stay and pray and fast and trust in Yahweh. Of course, they weren't starving. They had a piece of bread, but it wasn't very comfortable living a hole in a cave. It wasn't very comfortable to depend from day to day upon the Lord because they had no secure jobs like you have. There was no security at all. That's security in yourself. You make your own way. You make your own life. Your own, you know what I'm talking about. Their security was in the Lord. They trusted. They decided. They made a choice to trust. the rest returned. Later on in 1933, a big crush came on Russia. It was the year of taking away all property, confiscating all your belongings, your houses, your land, your horses, carts, your horses, everything. Everything went to the governments. The food was taken away from farmers in order to force them into collective government farms. And those who did not want to go in, they died of the way of starvation. The families did. The husbands were taken to Siberia as enemies of the people. In 1933, 6 million Ukrainians alone died of artificial starvation, among them quite a few Christians. The word of the Lord came to be fulfilled right to the dot. All those Christian brethren who returned were taken to Siberia in 1933, as the Lord had said. Their children were taken away to the government schools. And some of their relatives wrote later to China and said that when in starvation came, some of the mothers, being believers, ate the flesh of their babies in Ukraine because of disobedience. Alrighty, jumping down. I'm almost done here, and thank you for bearing with me, but I'm getting to the point here. So that all came to pass, and there was great trouble, and many thousands of brethren went to Siberia. So that was great trouble in Russia from 1933 on. In the meantime, that little group that was left by the border a couple months after the other group left heard the voice of Yahweh saying, "My children, get ready to move into another country." And when they were fasting and praying, the Lord divided the 40 families into four groups. He named the heads of the families. He said, "My son, you and you and you." The Lord, by the Holy Spirit, named the heads of the families and divided them into groups. "You will be leaving on such and such a day at midnight. I will lead you out into another country." Then the Lord, in his divine providence, took them across the border into China. It was the only miracles of God that led them, because they had never traveled that far in their lifetime. They never had guides, and they could not reveal their intent because at that time there were already big surveillance in the villages, so they were being watched. So they said, "Lord, we have the government here in this village where we live in this city watching for us. How can we move?" And the Lord said, "My children, don't worry. I will lead you out." And the Lord told them to leave at midnight. When midnight came, they were praying. Even right to midnight, they were in prayer to the Most High, saying, "Lord, help. Please help us and lead us out." And this is what happened to that particular group as my mother related it. Right at midnight, the Lord raised a great storm. Right at midnight. It was such a great storm that it caused a great commotion with much wind and noise. Even dogs stopped barking, help me, Jesus, in the streets, and everyone went into hiding. It was a great big storm. And then the Lord said, "My children, it's time to move out." So they left in the darkness of the night and midnight, and there was no KGB watching the streets, walking surveillance. No, that's not Kabir. I'm just kidding. Bless you, Brother Kabir. There was nobody on the streets. The streets were empty, and they left from the outskirts of that town. They left quietly in the darkness. And the Lord was leading them through the night because it was very close to the border. The Lord led them through the wild paths in the bush. The Lord was telling them to turn right, turn left, because they didn't know where to go. But the Lord supernaturally led them, and group by group, they all went into China. Yes, but in spite of God's working, in spite of God's miracles, in spite of the presence of the Lord, there is always an element of man's flesh entering, trying to disobey and do his own will. Other groups went in safely without incident, but one group, my mother related, one group was being led by the Lord. He was instructing them, and the moon was shining, but it was still quite dark. And they were walking in a wide, well-worn path as the Lord had directed them. Then all of a sudden the Lord told them, "Turn to the right, my children." And off to the right there was just a little path going into the bush. And they stopped there. And a couple of brothers said, "Well, why should we go to the right? This path," okay, they're starting to use reason and logic. "This path we're on is very big and it's very easy to walk on. We have children and our kettles with our water. And if we go through the bush, we will be getting scratched and this and that." And they reasoned everything under the sun to prevent them from actually being obedient. "And it will be very hard for the mothers with children to walk." And they started reasoning. So they said, "No, let's go straight." And after that, of course, there was no more voice of the Lord. So he shut down. You ain't going to believe him. I don't let you ask it handed to you so you can wake up. And so they went straight. See, they disobeyed. They just walked straight. Not long after, they came to a small wet area and then into a big swamp. And the two brothers who took over the leadership, they took it over and rejected the leadership of the Lord, the ones that he had appointed, the divine leadership of the Lord as well. They happened to fall into the swamp and started sinking, and they cried, "Lord, help us." All right, all of a sudden they're in desperate straits for the disobedience, their impatience, their second guessing. Now they got trouble. The people had to take off their shirts and quickly make a rope to throw them in order to save them from certain death. That's what it means to disobey the Most High when you want to go your own way and not the Lord's way. And it goes on to say they finally got back in and they spent a good deal of time in repentance and, you know, asking Yah to forgive them. And he spoke by somebody else and rebuked the hell out of him, but he did receive him back. But again, just another account, just another story of what happens when people get impatient and would rather not wait on Yah and his path and his directions, or the consequences of going outside of being in a patient, level-headed way, acting impatiently, and then possibly causing yourself not only present distress, but something that might be generational. It could actually keep you out of the kingdom. So that is the conclusion of tonight's show. I really didn't think it was going to go this long, but glory to the King. So just be careful. I mean, take a look at your own selves. Every man knows a bit in his own heart. So if you have tendencies where you get impatient easily, irritable, you might compromise, you might get fed up, you want to make your own way, you want satisfaction your own way instead of waiting and trusting on Yah, it's probably time to do something about that spirit and get free of it so you can be perfected in patience. Anyway, hey, bless y'all. Hey, it was my privilege, my honor to be here for the saints tonight. I pray that y'all have a blessed rest of the week. Keep your eyes on the Messiah, be up in prayer and supplications to the Most High, petitions, especially for Pastor Dowell and all the brothers that are heading up, and anybody that's heading to the meeting for their safety, their protection, their soberness, and anything else the Most High might bring in your spirit to add. So the prosperity, whatever that. It would be ears for them to hear. But, hey, bless y'all are welcome. Glory to the King. Bless y'all. Y'all have a blessed week. Be encouraged. Pray for one another that our faith fail us not. Love your brothers and esteem them greater than your own selves. Bless y'all. Hey, love y'all. Hey, the King is coming.